step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
And your boy Jay Scott 2-5. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir. What's going on, man? How was the weekend, fellas? How everything was going?
I was good.
We did Father's Day weekend. So,
yeah, happy Father's Day to all three of you.
Happy not a Thanks. Father's Day, Dan.
Soon to be.
Another week under the belt.
Another week. Oh,
another week.
Didn't say year.
Another year. Another week. Another year. We had a great weekend, man. We went up to Atlanta. We did a 20-year high school reunion. And none of my friends – well, one of my friends still lives down in South Florida, but everybody else in our friend group, there's 10 of us that all kind of scatter all across the world. So we all got together this week in Atlanta, which was just fantastic. Shout out to my buddy and listener of the show, Ross. He kind of hosted the whole thing at his house. But 23 adults and 18 children for 2 days. It was a lot going on. So, but man, it's been
don't even sound like fun.
Yeah. We had a bounce house. They were it was incredible. There was no issues to report.
We're just talking from the dad. Just dad perspective, man. Yeah. Like us three dads, 18 kids out here, man. I don't know.
Yeah. it's hard to believe, but there was no issues. But it was awesome to be able to see people that I have. I mean, most of these folks I've went to school from second and third grade, all the way through college together. So we were in a lot of the same classes and all. There's people I haven't seen in 7-8 years. So that was awesome. It was a great, great, great time being up there. And but yeah, that was a great weekend. No complaints.
I don't have any friends from second grade.
No.
They ain't make the cut, man. Nobody from second grade made the cut.
Nah,
yeah, same. Yeah.
Fifth grade. I got fourth grade.
Friends still.
Yeah, fourth. Shout out to my boy.
One of my best friends is Donnie from Damn It Donnie at the wedding.
Yep.
He and his wife are expecting their second child this week. Known Donnie since kindergarten, since we're 5 years old.
Kindergarten. Okay.
30-something years of friendship.
That's way back.
Yeah, bro.
it was awesome.
Y'all pretty much play cousins, not even friends, man. Kindergarten.
Nah, straight up. Where I'm from, they call you cousins.
Play cousins, fake uncles, all of it. I'm Uncle Dan to all of their kids.
For sure. 18 kids is egregious. We went on a vacation. You guys weren't here last week. I was still on vacation last week, but 2 kids almost took us out. What we figured out is that vacation involves grandma and grandpa from now on.
Yeah.
Vacations
relief pitchers, my guy. You gotta have a dugout.
Yeah. We were underprepared.
You see?
But
I thought y'all had it all under wraps, huh?
You live and you learn. First night I told Lo, I was like, hey, we might be driving back to the house tonight. we might be driving back. It's 3 o'clock. Frankie's screaming. Might head out. Pull it together.
I'm mad at you.
Felt like you stayed there the whole time.
We did. We did stay there the whole time.
Good. Good. Nick was being called numerous times towards the end of the pod last week. I thought that was it. I thought the car was being packed up, and I thought, you know, St. Augustine Hotel had one more free night under their belt where they didn't have to clean anything. So, but yeah, well, we got a good shot. I don't want to keep him waiting because he just joined. Thomas Holly is going to join us today. Then we're going to break down all the fun stuff that happened in Gator Nation over the last week, and we'll catch up about life and all that other stuff. But Corey, why don't you start us off with a Brunt ad read?
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg is the best of the best in the business. He can save you some money for sure on home, auto, RVs, four-wheeler, ATVs, motorcycles, even your life can be insured. Sewing machines,
yep,
if it has wheels, shout out to Jordan Scarlett, they insured that. Hit my man Greg up. It don't cost you a dime to see if you can save a dime. Bruntinsurance.com. We'll give him a call at 954-589-2204.
Greg, what it do, baby?
And one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. If you are looking for a group of attorneys that used to represent the insurance companies and now will represent you, we are in hurricane season, so it's a good time to jot down this phone number, 727-258-0043 or dykusburkelaw.com. That can be hurricane damage, wind damage, storm damage, water damage, whatever it might be, and your insurance company is fighting you back or fighting you, these guys are going to help fight back. So again, that's the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, the smart choice when your insurance company needs some tough love. Again, 727-258-0043. And with that, our next guest came to Gainesville from Brooklyn, New York, and Lincoln High School. He came to the University of Florida with some real pomp and circumstance around him. And while it may not have worked out probably the way that he intended, his time at the University of Florida, did graduate from the University of Florida. So with that, we are super excited to welcome Mr. Thomas Holly. How are you, my friend?
How you guys doing? How you guys doing? Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure.
What up? What up? What's
going on, Jordan? How you feeling, bro?
Good. Pretty. How about you?
I can't complain, man. I can't complain.
Yeah, I see you out there doing your thing on the field, but we're going to get into that for sure, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man. How's the family?
Can't complain, man. They growing up fast on me, dog, but you got to take it.
I hear that, man. Happy Father's Day to you guys, too.
Appreciate it, bro.
Thank you.
Are you a father yet?
No, not yet.
We said to Hold Dan earlier, happy not a Father's Day. So happy not a Father's Day.
Appreciate that.
Another year under our belt, Thomas.
I hear that. Tommy seems happy about it too.
I mean, I'm getting there, man. It's gonna be soon. I'm just, you know, gotta find that right person for it.
Yeah.
Thomas, talk to us a little bit. You came to the University of Florida from Brooklyn, New York, not a place that pumps out a ton of Division I football players, and definitely not a ton that end up at the University of Florida. You were in the class of 2014. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, what it was about coming to UF and why you ultimately make that decision to come down to Gainesville.
So initially, I didn't start playing football until my junior year of high school. I was a basketball guy growing up, so I think a lot of that translated to the football field when I did start playing. My size, agility, able to move, speed, and things like that kind of caught a lot of people's attention. So initially, I was committed to Penn State, but I had a good relationship with Florida at the time. Bill O'Brien ended up going to the Texans, which ultimately, when he left, it was a no-brainer that I ended up going to Florida. I had a good relationship with Muschamp, with Loin, and a lot of the other guys that were coming in. So that was an easy decision going to Florida.
What was it? Talking about that? Talking about just what is obviously growing up in New York, basketball is the sport. That's the Mecca. Shout out to your Knicks as a Heat fan. So congratulations.
We can't just move on, man. How do you feel about Knicks fans, man? You guys are a little y'all big much, bro.
There's some creatures in the mix.
So, so one thing I can say about New York, we're very prideful. That's one thing I can say. And another thing, being from New York, I can honestly say sometimes it's hard to do nice things for New York. I was sitting there watching the game, and then I see the news later, watching all this stuff happen, and I was like, and the funny thing is, I just got back from a family reunion, but my little cousin actually flew out to go to the parade. So I was like, you sure you want to do that? But luckily, he was in the World Trade Center, so he wasn't around all the craziness. So that was
Thomas.
Lucky
Thomas. They're stealing trash cans. They're dumping trash on the street, and they're stealing trash.
They don't want the kids going to school. They're tearing up school buses. So it's a lot going. We get a little too excited. I'll say that.
Those orange and blue trash cans did look sick, though.
I'm not mad.
So you start playing basketball. What's that transition? Because I the only other player from New York that I can remember is probably Dominic Easley.
Yeah, Dom. Uh-huh.
Who was a little bit before you, a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
But just what is the high school football scene in New York?
So to be honest, we have a lot of talent in New York when it comes to football. Obviously, you get overshadowed a little bit. Being basketball is the Mecca here. And also a lot of guys play basketball who do play football. So sometimes the exposure is a little bit bigger with basketball. So they end up going with basketball, but there's a lot of talented guys in New York when it comes to football. A big thing I have noticed sometimes, guys don't pass the eye test. Sometimes it could be grades or sometimes behavioral things. And just, circumstance, bad situations, not being around the right coaching staff to put you in position to be successful. So it's a number of things that accumulate. But from what I have seen and just being around, there's definitely a lot of talented players out here that if we get a little bit more exposure, you'll definitely start seeing more names pop up.
What do you guys, did you grow up a Syracuse fan? Like, who did you cheer for as a kid?
So me, I was a basketball guy. So for me, my dad was a North Carolina fan. So I grew up watching a lot of North Carolina because he's from there. I never really had a big team. I always supported St. John's, obviously. That's the home college. But I never really had a favorite team growing up, to be honest.
Okay.
That's pretty usual college, for that area, right?
Yeah, college. Like sports isn't huge up there. I remember Dominic Easley was in Birmingham. They asked him about Bear Bryant, and he was like, "Is that a cartoon?" And they were like, "Are you crazy?" And I was like, "Bro, he's 20 years old from New York. He doesn't know who your 87-year-old former coach at Alabama is. He has no idea."
Easley said that they had to escort him out like it was the civil rights. The little girls,
bro, it was the shock and the gasping from like the Alabama report. What do you mean?
I can imagine that. Definitely, Alabama. I think definitely the Syracuse era where Carmelo was there, obviously, that was big for sure. And then I had a teammate from my first high school who ended up being one of the quarterbacks at Syracuse. So I did have a connection there. Ultimately, though, I kind of wanted to get away from New York. I've been here my whole life, so that also played a part of me not staying here.
Yeah. Where are you now?
I'm back in New York, actually.
Oh, okay.
Surprisingly,
I'm back. Has a way of pulling you back.
Exactly. So definitely here for a little while. When other opportunities pop up, you know, we'll see where things go and where I end up next. Wouldn't mind going back to UF if the opportunity presented itself. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'll let him know. I'll be up there Thursday.
So let's get into like Jordan. It's still recruiting. Still before we got to UF, Jordan was a one-time FAU commit. He also flipped his commitment. You mentioned a little bit. You flipped your commitment, but what was it about Penn State that you liked?
I think one of the biggest things that they taught me, alongside the fact that it didn't necessarily just feel like recruiting at the time, was that the NFL stood for not for long. So everything in their process was grades, like the academic honor roll, and then, you know, all this, all that first year. So like everything was a plan, get you graduated by junior year and get you out of there. But they also emphasized the NFL stands for not for long. So what are your plans for after that? And that was something that really stood out to me, where, you know, you go through the recruiting process, it's, oh, you'll have a chance to win a national championship. You know, sometimes it could be the tenure of a coach and the prestige they have. But sometimes nobody really looks at the after football. A lot of people don't talk about that. And I think that stood out for me was the fact that they spoke about, okay, well, you know, our goal and plan is to get you here, but you also have to realize there's something after that. And then what are you going to do with that period of time? Because a lot of guys retire early, you know, and that's a real thing. And a lot of guys don't know what to do after sports. So I think that definitely hit me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
What you like about Mustard?
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Jordan.
I was going to just dive in a little bit more of like the recruiting aspect of like Florida. How was that for you as far as like official visit wise? Did you take multiple visits, or was it just a flip to Florida and then that was it?
Yeah, I took multiple visits. So initially I took the whole the run through like the big schools, Florida State, Miami, Florida. I think Muschamp, his fire, his tenacity, he puts a level of confidence in you. Yeah. And I think that's what that was. And then Coach Long, you know, rest in peace. I definitely think that he was a guy that, you know, he has a weird way of just sticking with you. You know, it's hard to explain because he's a very calm guy for the most part. You know, he gets a little riled up sometimes, but it's just something about him. He had a way of sticking with you. And I always remember that. It was very simple. Like, he was the first person that got me to eat crawfish. Never had crawfish a day in my life. Went down there. He was like, you ever had crawfish? Got me a bag of it. We tried it. I was like, all right. And to this day, I still eat it. So, you know, little things stick with you, but little lessons as well. But that staff was very much just, you know, felt like a family. Mm-hmm.
What's the craziest thing you ate in the South while you was down here?
Gator.
Gator?
That's not crazy. Right.
It's not crazy.
Do you think that's like crazier chicken than crawfish?
Yeah, because crawfish to me is almost like a mini lobster, and then you're sitting there eating. Yeah.
It's like a gator. Buck.
Yeah.
You're eating a sea bug.
I'm eating a prehistoric dinosaur versus a sea bug.
It just tastes like chicken, though, right?
What it tastes like. That's the thing. Everybody says it tastes like chicken, and it genuinely does taste like chicken. So I guess it's not that crazy when you think about it. But back then, that was crazy to me. Yeah. I would never think about
that. That was the craziest thing I've had to do.
You guys are
you ever try frog legs? No?
Nah. And the crazy thing is, my dad is from North Carolina, so frog legs, chicken legs, and chitlins, and like that's what they do, and I stayed with the regular stuff, the chicken, the hamburgers.
With the regular stuff. I respect it. Thomas is like, listen, if it ain't at the bodega, we're not having it. Frog legs, no shot.
You know, if I can, I have to see whoever made it. I have to know what it is, you know.
What?
barbecue is probably a little bit different down here too. Talk to us. So you come to UF, and then did you had labrum surgery? Is that right?
Yeah, I had a labrum surgery, and then I had a second surgery to repair it because I had some scar tissues and a couple of complications.
And that was something that was planned before, like you knew you were going to have that, right? Or
so no, so
okay.
When I went on my official visit, they were showing me some of the workouts just so I could start getting acclimated after I had already committed. And Coach Mark noticed something was off with my hip, you know, when I was doing a squat. So my leg would swing out on the way down, come back in on the way up. So that was the first place where they noticed it. So then I went back, saw a specialist, and I had essentially the first surgery I had was in high school. They repaired some muscles on my pubic bone. And then I thought I was okay. Got to UF, I was doing really good, you know, OTAs and everything. I was, you know, killing it in the weight room. I was feeling great. We get to that second day of spring practice and, you know, I went down, and then that's where everything kind of started from there.
Yeah. Jeez.
So who is your host? Who was your host for your official visit?
They had me with Jaynard.
Oh,
they had me with Jaynard, but then DC and T Riles came and got me.
Oh, okay.
They came and got me. T Riles came and got me. He had me stay in his room. I was out there with Caleb. I know me and Carrie were communicating a lot before we got there. Dorsey, a lot of guys. So,
bro,
we were.
Who was in charge of these? Who was in charge of this? Who was in charge of that assignment?
I have
like shout out to T Riles and the guys to come and get you, but who?
I had no idea who set that up. but you know, it ended up working out
because
I had a good relationship with Jaynard too, though. Like Jaynard was a good guy, so I did have a good relationship with Jaynard while I was there. But I don't know who set that up. But either way, I still got around a lot of the guys, so it wasn't, you know, everybody kind of took me under their wing a little bit, so it wasn't bad at all.
What kind of official visit were you trying to have? Because I feel like you have to know the person, the player. Me, we would have been at Midtown. Scarlett, we know what he did immediately to Midtown. What kind of official visit were you looking for?
I wasn't really looking for anything. Like it was all new to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was all new to me. So like, I was ranked in basketball going into high school, but then I had the whole switch. So, you know, you hear stories and things like that, but I didn't really have an expectation going into it. I kind of was, you know, whatever it is whatever it is. You know, every school is going to be different. Every school is going to throw something different at you when you do take that, because you only get five. So, you know, you have to weed out those schools. Then you actually take your official visit. So for me, it was kind of just take it all in, not just from the, you know, showing you around perspective and the, you know, how were the academics there? Because a lot of people don't look at that either. Like you can get a degree from somewhere, but how much, you know, pound for pound weight does that degree hold in comparison to some other places? So that was also something that was important for me too, going through that process. Being that I was going away from home, did I feel comfortable being here? That was also something important because you're going to be spending your next 3 to 4 years there. And then how did I feel around the guys? That was definitely a big thing for me, you know, because some guys you come in and you might have a few people here and there that kind of bring you in, and then everybody's kind of standoffish. And then you have some places that you go where, you know, you can kind of feel that camaraderie before you're even there. So those were a few of the things that I was looking for, because essentially, you know, you go party, you go have fun. But the way I always looked at it was, you know, and I kind of preach it to the kids that I coach, is that you're not a student athlete. You're an athlete that goes to school. So it's business first, everything else after. And I know now with NIL, I'm sure it's a completely different climate where now it's almost, you know, now you're paid, you're an employee. You're really an employee. You're
basically a professional already.
You know what I'm saying? You're really an employee. So now it's different. So I think that was the big thing for me was where could I still enjoy myself, but still, you know, focus, lock in, had everything that I needed as far as resources. You know, everything felt like a family. It felt, you know, I didn't feel out of place, even though it's the South and I'm a city boy.
When you get down here, you get into your first practice. What was that like? Did you have a weather shock?
To be honest, I didn't know it got cool, like a little bit chilly in Gainesville. So I didn't bring any hoodies or anything like that. So I remember, as Scarlett could tell you, those mornings riding on the mopeds, it gets cold. It gets cold up there. So I think it was maybe 2 months in, 3 months in, I'm calling my mom, hey, can you send out some jackets, some hoodies? I need them. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. Outside of that, I kind of knew what to expect weather-wise. I think just going in and getting at it was the biggest thing for me. I was just hungry and ready.
Different coaching staff, but you mentioning the mopeds made me think of Jim McElwain when you guys had to put the helmets on, and they looked like football helmets.
Yep. And I think I was a part of that little help to push that. I did get hit by a car, and
no kidding.
Right after that was when they implemented the helmets, because I think a few guys that week had got hit by cars. So
did you get hit on campus or off campus?
I was on campus. I was actually right by one of the busiest intersections in game, like in the area.
On campus, jeez.
Yeah, so luckily I didn't get hit, you know, by the grace of God, by any other cars after that, or nothing serious happened. Because I know when I went to the hospital, by the time I woke up, my mom was here from New York.
Damn.
So
you were just in constant pain the entire time that you were in Gainesville.
Well, I wouldn't say the entire time, but I've definitely had my fair share of stints, you know, with a little pain and trauma. I can say that.
I want to ask you, Thomas. So you transitioned from basketball to football. You have a lot of success. You reach kind of the pinnacle of the recruiting rankings. You come to campus, you have surgery, then you have another surgery. Mm-hmm. How do you mentally deal with that, emotionally deal with that? Because obviously that's not what you thought was going to happen when you came to Gainesville.
Right. It was a lot. I can definitely say I went through some depression. Coming in, I was supposed to start, or at least, you know, play right away. I get derailed as soon as I get there. You know, you rehab. Then right when I'm thinking I'm about to be back, we were doing a workout, leg buckled, then I have to get sent back out for another surgery. So I'm just like, when is it going to end? And then, you know, rehabbing, you come back. And then even when I came back, which in hindsight, obviously, when you're older, you look at things differently because you're a little bit more mature. Versus the way you were back in the day. So a lot of it for me, I'm a football player. If I can play, put me out there. And I think Coach Rumpf at the time was trying to protect me and preserve me a bit. And I think that was also frustrating to me, wanting to be out on the field, knowing like, hey, Coach, you give me that opportunity, things are going to happen. And I think it was just culmination of a lot of different things between the first surgery, second surgery, and then not really playing as much as I felt like I should have been playing or I could have been playing at the time. A lot of that stuff weighs on you mentally. You know, you got to go in every day and rehab. And then when you watch practice, everybody's going out there and you're like, I just want to be out there. And it's just day after day. And you feel like you get closer. And then right when you're there, nope. Let's start all over. So it definitely was a rough period of time. And I knew I had that factor that would have taken me to the next level. And I think that's what hurt the most.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't lie, but that early morning treatment, that shit used to be rough. So as soon as you said it, I'm like, but I definitely used to make sure you up at the crack of dawn.
Crack of dawn, you got it. Like, it's mandatory. Like, you have it. Not like I'm sleeping a little bit, and then I kind of go when I feel like it. Like, no, you're gonna go.
For real. And then they'd be doing all that hard work and ain't getting rewarded on the back on the field. I feel you on that.
You know, and that was the good part when I got back, and then it was just like, yo, you're not playing, and then my hip was still bothering me a little bit at the time. So I think just childish me at the time with all the emotions and everything going on. Looking at it in hindsight, I probably should have stayed, just kept doing my rehab, played it out. And then let the cards fall where they may. But at the same time, too, I felt like I was also mature in my thought process because I was thinking, you know, wanting to be able to walk, thinking about kids down the line, you know, wanting to be able to play with your kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about when you do have a wife, do I want her to have to, you know, wipe my ass because, you know, I'm paralyzed or, you know, push me around in a wheelchair and I can't do certain that. So those were all things that came into my mind too at the time. So as much as I can say, some of it was the depression and the emotion playing a part into that thought process. It was also the maturity of thinking in the future. So it, you know, it was a very tough decision for me. If I could do it over, I probably would have just played it out. But at the same time, your story is your story, and you right. can't rewrite that.
You were
that's heavy.
That was right around the same time. I think Rod was going through his spinal stenosis the year before, so he was probably in the training room with you that same time.
So Rod was in the training room, and Scarlett can also tell you Rod kept trying to get second opinions, and we kept telling him, this is your neck we're talking about, like your spine, your movement, your whole, you know, being of living. And that's not something you want to play with. We get the fire, we get the passion, but sometimes you have to know, you know, when it's time to put it up. And that's that's one of those situations where that's almost like a no-brainer. Because we watched you in practice not be able to move. And, you know, that's one of the stories I tell my players to this day, like, you have to really take advantage of the opportunities because you never know, you know, when it could be going. And I also tell them that that's the business side of it, you know, because we move practice down 25 yards, and I don't think any of us wanted to practice after that.
That's a fact. But,
you know, I don't think any of us wanted to practice after that, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But he definitely was in there with us. I remember, you know, and me and Rod, we were always cool, but after that, I think both of us not playing anymore, we ended up living in the same apartment complex, and we grew really tight, I think, because of that. That bond of we both had to stop playing football, both of us had our own situations, and I know it was really tough for him, especially because I was still, I think, on the fence, and Rod was at that point where it was like, it was no more. So I think it was a little bit different at the time, but just the emotion was still there in the room for sure for both of us.
What type of, did you guys, like what got you through that? Right. Cause being young, dealing with that type of stuff, that's a lot to carry, you know, mentally. Did you any therapy or who was in your corner to get you through that from a mentor standpoint?
If I'm being honest with you guys, when I stopped playing football, I think emotionally, I felt like the game took everything from me.
Right.
You know, you highly recruited. I know I have the talent and the work ethic to go to that next level.
Right.
And, you know, I've never had surgeries before. Up until that point. So now even that was a big thing for me because I was even on the fence of having a surgery. I didn't want to have surgery. So even the fact of having to go in, that was a battle of doing, you know, whether or not to do the surgery. But I'm like, ultimately, I have no choice if I'm going to try to keep playing. But I don't, for a long time, I didn't want anything to do with football. And I think part of that was the depression. People would, you know, people would bring up football. Like I didn't watch football, so I fell out of the loop with college and NFL. I didn't really watch it that much. My mom even brought it up, you know, why don't you try to coach or do, and anything that had to do with football, I didn't want to hear it. And I think, you know, I worked odd jobs. I was doing this, doing that, did music, you know, I do music. I was just kind of all over the place figuring things out. And to be honest, I don't think there was anything from an outside perspective other than healing, just time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you can talk to everybody about it, but no, unless you've actually been through it, that waking up day in and day out since you're a little kid, you know, times you want to go party and hang out with your friends, I'm doing workouts, you know, waking like the extra stuff that you had to do. You know, I think all of those things just, it took a toll on me. So after a while, I just didn't want anything to do with it. And then eventually, you know, you heal and you start looking back at things in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as bad as you thought it was. And on top of that, why waste your gift? Just because I'm not on the field, I have something up here that I can give to somebody else that can get them where I wanted to go. And that can also be just as fulfilling as getting there.
Right. I think your story, right? Like, mm-hmm. you wasn't the first player to go through that. You're not going to be the last, right?
Exactly.
And this game at some point ends for everybody, whether it's retirement, injury, whatever. But whatever that transition may be, I think there's an element of just mentorship and just guidance at any of those stages. Yeah.
You hit it on the head. And that's exactly where I'm at. So I crazy enough, I did get back into coaching. So funny enough, Coach Rumpf, when I stopped playing, wanted me to be a coach, a player coach. And again, looking back in hindsight, wish I would have did it. But I didn't at the time feel like I had anything to offer. Emotionally, mentally, there was nothing I can give anybody at that time that would have been useful to somebody. There would have been a lot of emotion behind that. And I don't think that's fair to anybody. If I'm going to do something the way I go about it, I do it 100%. And I put my heart into it. And I didn't feel like I could put my heart into it at the time. And then, like I said, just years of figuring things out, just going through the motions. And then eventually, you know, like I said, my mom would bring it up. Why don't you decide to coach? And then one day I was just sitting on the couch and I was just like, you know what? What am I doing? And I hit my old high school coach up and I was like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about coming back and coaching. You know, do you guys have any spots available? And without hesitation, hey, come in this week, stop by the school. And that's kind of where things started. So last season was my first season. I got all three of my D linemen into colleges on some type of scholarship, which was happy for me, which was a big thing for me. All the kids, just watching the gravitational pull and me being a mentor, all those things that we're talking about as far as injuries or things happening where football ends, I do my best to keep it real with these kids and talk about the things that people don't want to talk about. Yes, I'm your coach, but just like you said, I'm also your mentor. Or I could be your big brother, you know, whatever you need in the moment. It's not just football. I'd keep it honest with these guys. They're going to go to school and have fun. And, you know, no, I'm not. You know, I'm going to go there and play. You're going to go party. You're going to go to the club. You're going to go do the. Just make sure you're focused up here and remember that you're there for a reason. You know, make sure you're taking care of your body. Take the initiative to do the extra steps, because it doesn't just what you do. What a lot of guys don't realize is the things that you do on football and how you approach football on the field correlates to how you approach things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Ball and a lot of guys don't do that. So, you know, I was subbing at the school. So a lot of guys, I would see them in the hallways. Hey, why are you not in class? Where are you supposed to be at? And they're like, thinking I'm going to be the cool guy, like not going to know, because what if this was work, you know, or what if you had a meeting or interview and you had to, you can't do certain things and this carries over because you're not going to break bad habits just because you woke up one day and decided I don't want to do this anymore. You know, that's not how life
like
works.
A dad, bro. You sound like a dad. You know, yeah.
I feel like it's sometimes
Happy Father's Day.
With the kids. I guess so. I guess so. So it's definitely been I feel like it's put a fire back in me. This is the happiest I've been. So I actually, just to show you how dedicated I've been, I actually quit my job. I was working as an assistant manager at Sherwin-Williams, and I quit the job because I was depressed there. And this is, you know, it's worked out for me ever since. I just did a showcase a couple, 2 months ago, I want to say, a month ago, at the high school that I wasn't supposed to be at. My coach at Lincoln decided, he hit me up last minute, hey, do you want to coach? And then from there, I ended up getting an opportunity to where this upcoming season, I'm going to be the new D-line coach at Pace University.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, nice. Things, things have been progressing. I also took the initiative. I got my certified personal training certification. I'm working on my strength and conditioning for my NCAA as well. So I've just, you know, been trying to give back and put back into the youth, because there's, like I said, there's a lot of talented kids out here, and sometimes you just need a little bit of guidance and somebody to show you that they care. And I think that's, you know, that's where I step in.
Damn.
Let's go.
Purpose, dog.
So
purpose.
That's why I was saying, hopefully I could get back to UF at someday if the opportunity presents itself. That'd be huge. But, you know, right now I'm just paying my dues and working my way up.
If you start getting good, man, we're going to treat you like we did Phil Trotwine, bro. We're going to you back in here, dog. Keep doing your thing, man.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
Are you still follow UF at all? Or
yeah, I've been. So now that I'm back in the football, yeah. I've been getting back into tune with everything. I always, even though I was very much, I don't want anything to do with football, it was always Florida. Mm-hmm. If Florida's playing, if, you know, the games, I'm always going to support Florida. That, you know, that still holds a special place in my heart. I'm on Florida Gator to the death of me. So that's just, you know, that never changed. I can say that. That never changed.
Well, you got to come check this thing out as a fan, Thomas.
Yeah. 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 Now that I'm back, I'm definitely going to, exactly. I got to get back. And even, you know, getting back in touch with Scarlett, I fell out of, like, literally fell out of touch with so many guys. So now just getting back into it, reaching out to guys. You know, I talked to John Bullard. You know, I reach out to him, still got a relationship with him. Caleb, you know, me and him always been close.
Yeah, you and Caleb used to be boys.
Yeah, Joey Ivy, you know, still talk to him, share it, I reach out. So I try to, even Rod, so I try to, you know, tap back in and get back in with the guys just so that way I can, you know, keep that connection and that camaraderie and that brotherhood there. Cause, you know, life doesn't stop just because football ends. And, you know, we all have something that we can offer to each other and, you know, just be there for each other.
Facts.
What's Jordan Sherrod up to? Last time I saw him, he was slinging diamonds.
I believe he's still doing that.
Rocks.
He's doing his thing. He's doing his thing. I think two of the guys hit him up as the jewelers. And mm-hmm. They try to get pieces from him and things like that. So he's doing his thing over there.
Yeah, he did my wife's ring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's doing his thing. I definitely gotta hit him up and get a piece from him myself.
The one I like from y'all's time is I know that Ahmad Fullwood is alive whenever Nick Washington posts him on his Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
he does a proof of life with Ahmad, he says.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just good to see, you know, everybody still close with each other. And like I said, now that I'm, you know, back in the right headspace, I've just been trying to get back in tune with everybody. And definitely got to plan a trip to go to Gainesville just to, you know, like you said, be a fan.
Yeah.
I've been a football player. I haven't been a fan there yet. Like official fan there yet. So I definitely have to make my way back out there.
We're going to work on them orange and blue garbage cans for you, bro. So you feel right at home.
Hey, that'd be fine with me. That'd be fine with me. Just make sure there's no fighting or anything. I'll be good.
Yeah, can't promise. We got a little crazy last year after the basketball and that. It was people hanging off of light poles, man. So
it's nothing I haven't seen. So it wouldn't surprise me.
Were you tuned into that, to the basketball run 2 years ago?
Yeah, I was tuned into that. I was definitely, you know, wherever I was at anytime Florida would come on, you know, I try to watch as many games as possible, and I try to stay in tune with everything. But like I said, I fell out a little bit, but now I'm definitely back involved.
Everybody does, man. Everybody, yeah. When they first start playing a game, man, no matter what level, whichever level, I stopped at JUCO, bro, and I didn't watch football for 2 years, like straight up.
Yeah, it takes some time, and then you just get back into it like nothing changes.
For sure. For sure.
So,
yeah. Well, if you come down to Gainesville, let Jordan know. We've got a tailgate. We're there every week. Yeah. Jordan was there across the way from us.
Definitely, I'll set something up for sure.
We got a spot for you any home game.
Definitely, we'll set something up for sure, without question.
And I'm there too. Yeah.
Perfect. I'll definitely be down. My goal is definitely to get down there this year if I can.
Yeah. No, we would love to have you.
Definitely do that.
Yeah. So you started to get back out there, but I think it was like 3 years after I was done playing, 2 years after I was done playing. I went to one game, and not every year I bring it to at least one game a year. I'm trying to make that tradition myself.
It was crazy. So, like, I covered you and Jordan, but then watching Jordan take his kids to the indoor, and now his kids are running around. I was like, oh, every single gray hair has been earned. Every single one. But that was cool.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see how time flies. Like, everybody's older. Joey has kids, you know, married, his little brother. Just seeing a lot of the guys, like, you know, went from boys to men, literally. And it's great to see that. It's genuinely great to see that.
Well, Thomas, we're talking about Dan's high school reunion. Might need to get a 12-year reunion, the 14 team. Get him back on campus.
That'd be great.
Tell them boys come link up for the spring game, man. We'd be doing a lot of stuff for the former players on the spring game. That's a nice time where everybody is in the coaching. Like, it's not messing with your schedule or nothing like that.
Right. No, spring game, definitely. Definitely. Hey, if I could set that up for that.
Where were you at when you seen the McElwain shark picture?
I said, that's a good question. I can't even remember. I'm not even going to say a lot of you. I can't even remember.
What were your thoughts when you saw it?
I thought it was a little funny. I thought it was a little funny. But you know, McElwain has a good place in my heart. So, you know, Scarlett, his number one rule: do what's right.
He was a simple man.
Number one rule: do what's right.
Yeah, he was a cool dude.
That was funny though. That was funny though. I do remember that.
Any funny Muschamp interactions?
Anytime Muschamp yelling is funny. I'm not, you know, anytime Muschamp yelling is funny. You know, he turns red, his spit starts flying out of his mouth, you know, he's super animated. But you know, he fires you up. But you have to laugh a little bit when you see it. You know, you have to laugh a little bit when you see it. But you know he's just as fired up as you are. So you know, it fires you up too, so you don't really get too into the giggles. But it's always funny when you see him, you know.
What kind of coach are you? Are you a yeller or you?
I don't like yelling at the guys. Okay. Just, you know, I tell guys I pour into you as much as you're willing to pour into yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't want it for you. I can't want it more than you. Mm-hmm. You have to want it for yourself. So even with the guys at Lincoln, when we did spring practice, after practice, the whole D-line knew we have to line up after practice, conditioning. You know, and it's not punishment. It's not because I thought you guys didn't do good at practice. But I always tell them, look who's out here. Nobody else is out here with us. Everybody else went home. Mm-hmm. They want to, you know, go eat, go play on the game, and go. You guys are still out here, and this is what's going to separate you guys. Because I tell them, it's not like when me and Scarlett were playing, where, you know, the top guys are going to get those scholarships. You got NIL, transfer portal. You know, there's a whole lot of levels before they get to you guys. So what are you genuinely doing to stand out? And on top of that, we're from a place where they don't genuinely look for football players. Mm-hmm. So you really have to work a lot harder than everybody else. Because I can assure you, I've been around top level guys, and I know the work ethic that they have and what they're doing, and you guys aren't doing that. I think that's where it comes into play of, you know, I don't yell. I'm very much hands-on, so I'll put my hand in the dirt with you guys. I'll show you exactly, you know, what you need to do. I'll fix up what needs to be fixed up, but you have to give me 100%. And I don't want 110%, because there's no such thing as 100%, 110%. I want 100% when I ask for it, and when I want 50 or 60%, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, don't talk back. That's the only thing. If I tell you to do something, do it. Because, you know, I'm preparing you for, like I said, I always try to correlate things to life. You're not going to talk back to your boss who's paying you.
Mm-hmm.
If he says do something, you're going to do it. So why are you going to talk back to your coach who's trying to put you in a position to potentially get some money,
right,
without having to work in a cubicle or, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just try to make it simple for guys. I always try to correlate things. You know, one thing I don't do is the fighting on the field. I know emotions get high. But if you want to argue with an O lineman, just shut up and kick his ass. And you kick his ass to play after that. And you kick his ass to play after that. And you know, when his coach is yelling at him and I'm not saying anything to you, you should feel good.
That's his ass. Right. Yeah.
You should feel good. Because I remember, you know, there was plays Coach Summer had to tell them boys, Hey, Coach Rump, can you take Thomas out? Because you can't get a kill. So, you know, that's the kind of tenacity I want it to be. I want it to be competitive. I want you to get after it with the guys, but, you know, do it within restraint, knowing, you know, it's your teammates. But when it's game time, there's no friends on the field. I know a lot of you guys go to school together. I mean, not go to school together, but, you know, hang out and know each other from your neighborhoods and stuff. But when we get in between these lines, after the game is over, you guys can be friends. When the game is going on, that's an obstacle stopping you from getting a potential scholarship. So we can't have ha ha kiki. We gotta be a little bit psycho. We have to be a little bit psycho out there. But I try to make sure it's fun. I don't want football to feel like work. You know, I want it to feel like another day of just having fun, and that's the way I go about it. You know, discipline when we have to discipline. But outside of that, you know, it's football. It should be fun. I don't want to have to be sitting here yelling at you all day, because that's not fun for me.
Yeah.
I want high fives, shoulder bumps. You know, that's where it's at. That means we're doing what we need to do.
Facts.
Love it. Well, you guys got any more questions before we let Thomas run?
Nah, man, you got a good start to this coaching thing. It sounds like you've been coaching for a decade, my brother. Ain't gonna lie to you, man.
I appreciate it. I mean, I had a lot of great guys around me to, you know, help push me in that right direction. You know, mentally, I have a great family. You know, shout out to my mom. Oh, she's definitely a huge backbone for me, keeping me in line when I was growing up, and, you know, just putting life in a different perspective. You know, she tried to treat me like an adult mentally when I was younger, so that way you understand things a little bit differently. You know, so I definitely appreciate that, and just having a strong support system. So I think all of those things put me in the right mind state to be able to be where I'm at now, essentially.
Yeah, man, that's big time, though. But I'm super proud of you, man, just hearing your story and how much you matured and how far you came. And I know it ain't easy. Like we said, all dudes that put an end to football, man, it's everybody feeling in all different ways, but it's about what you do after, man. I'm really proud of the way you move it and motivating the youth, and you just not putting your talent to waste, man, because even though you feel like it's a waste, your talent is still inflecting the next generation of people and having these boys do something that they probably could have never achieved without you, bro. So I'm proud of you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, man. I'm proud of you too, man. You know, big family, man. You know, this going on. Like I said, everybody's doing their thing, even if they're not playing football anymore. You know, they're figuring it out, and it's just really good to see and really good, you know, to know that we can still reach out to each other and tap somebody on the shoulder and make magic. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? So definitely appreciate you guys having me, for sure. This has definitely been a blast. And, you know, hopefully I'll be seeing you guys spring practice.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'll be up there. So I'm going to catch you, for sure.
Definitely. I definitely appreciate it, guys.
Hey, appreciate you coming on, Thomas.
Not a problem. Thank you
for having me. Appreciate you, Thomas. Hey, best of luck at Pace, brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's huge. Huge jump up for you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much, Thomas, and go Gators.
Go Gators, guys. Jordan, I'll be in touch with you, man.
All righty, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate you. Thomas Holly, new coach. Breaking news for the pod. Pace University. So best of luck.
Yeah, that's big time.
Nice. It's that jump, and from there.
Yeah, I'm about to say that jump. A lot of opportunity. College almost be the hardest part. You know, a lot of dudes get stuck in that high school coaching for years and end up for never getting an opportunity.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was like in a year, right?
Yeah, like
a year. Yeah.
1 year high school football. Shit, I mean. Yeah.
That's huge.
Keep climbing the reins.
That's blessings right there, bro.
That's a hell of an interview. That's what I always love about this show. Sometimes you get the big names. And it's good. It's a good interview, right? You go back and forth, but sometimes you get the names of people forgot, or they have a different story to tell. And I think that's what makes kind of what we do and the stories that we try to bring onto this show so cool and so unique. So we really appreciate Thomas Holly for joining us today. And I think he's a guy, you know, we connect him back with the program a bit, maybe a guy we bring on a little bit more frequently, maybe talk about the season, all that kind of fun stuff. So, Thomas, thanks again for your time. One time for our friends, pardon me, over at Game Time Sidekicks, if you want a cool cup like this one or the ones that the boys have, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. You're going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Go support our guy Tyler up in Knoxville, Tennessee with Game Time Sidekicks. Promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. Hopefully some of you guys use it for your Father's Day gifts. So with that, just a couple of announcements here. The University of Florida just announced that Dr. Stuart Bell is going to be taking over as interim president effective July 1st. So the University of Florida will have a new president. There's a lot more that will come from that. There's a lot of jostling and politicking back and forth. We're not going to get into that politicking back and forth on this show, but just know as of July 1st, Dr. Stuart Bell, previously the president at the University of Alabama, will be the president at the University of Florida, interim president. And then John Rothstein has just announced that the Gators will be playing their road games in the SEC at Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, and South Carolina. So the Gators will not be heading to Rupp Arena this year. So you can expect Kentucky to make it to Gainesville this upcoming season. Over the weekend, the Gators hosted Friday Night Lights as well as Grill in the Ville. And they also picked up two commitments this past week. The first being linebacker Trey Gethers from Charlotte, North Carolina, Providence Day School. He is listed as a 3-star. Well, you know what? Let's watch some tape. Because the last time we watched tape on the show, we got a guy, a complete star bump. So,
Trigethers, Providence Day School.
Yep.
Big time program.
Chad Greer. Yep. Shout out to Willie Goat.
Yep. Yep.
That's where all the killers go in Carolinas, man. This is a big time program.
Yeah, his dad was a former University of Georgia football player and NFL defensive end, Robert Gethers. He is ranked as a 3-star on all of the services, and he is ranked somewhere between the 45th and the 63rd best linebacker and somewhere between the 17th and 24th best player in the state of North Carolina. He is right now listed as the 569th best player in the country. Offers from South Carolina, Tennessee, Nebraska, USC, amongst others. So he is the first of the commits from this week, and we'll watch this video with 1,100 of our closest fans and friends watching. And while you're here, hit the retweet button, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're here.
Reads and reacts very well.
So definitely kind of a dime, nickel, and linebacker in there.
He's definitely a linebacker. They got him in like a dime situation, but his stance is a linebacker stance. He's probably playing a dime or nickel, like technically right there, but his stance is he's looking like a water boy. What he said,
6'1.5", 195 pounds. So you can expect him to put on some considerable weight when he gets to Gainesville.
Yeah, I'm about to say, he might need to put on some weight. Well, the new age linebackers ain't over.
He ain't undersized, I don't think.
Yeah, as a freshman, that's probably fine.
He'd be Brandon Connell said he'd be a 4-star if he's from Florida, Georgia, or Texas. Yeah, I don't think he's a guy that will necessarily end up as the 569th best player in the country. And that's the thing about rankings now. They still have an entire year left to play.
Bro, he plays violent. Like, he's shedding a lot.
He plays real violent. I wonder how fast he really is.
Let's see if I can find that information.
Yeah, I'm about to say, is he like a track kind of guy? Maybe find some track times or something.
Good depth. Let's see what we can do.
Look at that. Head block. Gangster.
You see the hand plays when he playing with hands.
Andrew Ivins, not friend of the program, has said that his weight is maybe up to 215 pounds, but has not been third party verified yet. Mm. Last season, 87 tackles, 8 PBUs, 2 INTs, 6'1.5". Yeah.
Yeah, 215. He might want to chill out.
He is a fourth generation.
I'm trying to tell you.
He's a fourth generation football player for college football. Well, I guess three generations plus some other tertiary relationships. His dad played at Georgia. His grandfather played at South Carolina. Ooh. And his great uncle played at Wichita State.
You got to love a punt block. That's all effort right there. That's showing you ain't scared. Some dudes, you go tell them block, they're closing my eyes, don't want to really get kicked or nothing like that.
I can tell by watching tape sometime when a kid watches a lot of tape.
Instinctual.
He looks calm in coverage and he just reacts.
He diagnoses very quick. Like, and you can tell, like, pre-snap, he's a little jittery. He kind of knows what's coming his way a little bit. Like, you pay attention to some of this. He's definitely like a football guy. Like, he watches tape with his pops, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, he's gonna be a very good football player. He's in a big time program. I know he was saying if he was a Florida kid, he'd probably be 4 stars, but that's one of the premier programs. It's like IMG of the Carolinas or something like that, pretty much.
Yeah. Is that where Will went, Nick?
Will was at Davidson Day. Coach at Davidson Day, and then his dad's bounced around a little bit, but I think I'm pretty sure that's where his dad is coaching now.
Okay. Yeah, again, his great uncle, grandfather, and father all drafted into the NFL. No worse than the third round, too. So great pedigree.
Right. Bloodline sound good. Sound like you got a good get.
No, I think he's next up. I think they keep the tradition going.
What?
He's a guy.
And so then
we got to know. Go, we got another commit, right?
Yeah, this one's for Nick, though.
Big one.
This huge one for Nick.
Huge.
The Gators grab. Just got to pull it. All right, so the Gators grab from East Kalata High School, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's definitely probably wrong. Sharpsburg, Georgia. Aaron McWilliams. He is a 5-star kicker and punter, according to Coles. He is a number eight kicker and the number eight punter in the country. So pre-show, we told Nick, hey, this is your opportunity to shine. He's like, he's not a punter. I said, au contraire, no matter what UF recruited him for, he's a punter. So, Nick, time for you to break down some Aaron McWilliams tape.
The committed graphic shows him punting too. And I think Florida already has a commitment from a kicker, so it might be the punter.
And okay. Backup kicker.
Congratulations.
We're going to hit skip ad here. And Nick, this is your time.
Wait, we're about to watch kicker film?
Punts. Apparently, yeah, we watch long snapper films. I don't know if you were on the show, but we watched long snapper film. But
yeah,
I want to see at least one fake, though. Let
that's
me
when
see
we found out that Frank was a long snapper coach.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. 4.23 hang down at the 8-yard line.
I can live with that any day of the week.
Oh, great, great quote. I can kick and punt, so I take up less room on the bus.
I like that. He had offers, not a ton of big offers, but was offered by Florida and committed immediately on the spot. So I don't totally know how kicking and punting recruiting goes. There's a whole different world. Rankings are usually done by different agencies. I don't think I've ever seen a kicker or punter ranked higher than a 3-star.
I mean, well, Florida's got Alec Clark, who is a redshirt junior. So I think you want it. Like last year, they were in the right spot. Like, perfect world, you have a senior long snapper or redshirt senior long snapper. I don't know, boy.
Field goal ain't too bad, boy. He ended up doing 50, boy.
50, 44. Yeah.
44th room. But, like, theoretically, perfect world, you would like to have a senior or a redshirt senior. You like to have all three, punter, kicker, long snapper, come in, sit a year, and then go. What was that?
You seen that?
What is that? No, I'm looking at the lines. What is that? They got, is that?
Oh, that's sorry. That's across the field. No, that's for track and field.
I see somebody reflection in the video. So
yeah, I saw the reflection too.
That's for the shot put and the discus.
Oh, you're right. Maybe you're right.
And this is how you would signal that we're doing shot put and discus.
No, I was thinking of what's the thing that they do? Hammer throw. That's what I was thinking.
Mm.
You know,
the Thor.
Yeah, that's why I did it up here and not down. You know what I mean?
Kids got a. Well, I mean, you mad at the tape?
All right, I'm a little bored.
Touchback City.
Yeah, I've been bored, bro.
Yeah,
that's the first time I ever watched Kicker Film. Hopefully, that's the last time I watch Kicker Film.
Can we the next time?
Just get a little. Sam was doing it for the bit.
I was doing it for the bit.
I get it.
But I ain't mad at the hang time. I mean, if you punt 40 yards with 4-point hang time, we get some 4-3 guys running down. We should be safe on punt. At least the Gunners can go down there and slow them down, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, maybe all of his punts wasn't averaging 4 hang time, but that's what I saw on tape. So
nobody wants to talk about a kicker until you don't have one.
Bingo.
No, were you right?
Gators commitment or Gators class up to are sitting at number 6 in the country right now, 3rd in the SEC. Last year they finished 8th in the SEC. So 16 blue chips out of 24. And then we kind of talked about it, but Kamarion Johnson jumped mightily up to a 4-star. You'll remember we broke down his film a couple weeks ago. And I think Corey's exact words were, there's no way in hell this kid's a 3-star. So, or some iteration.
Nah, that film was crazy.
That reminds me, I two things. One, I met Speedy. I was at Friday Night Lights and the girl in the Ville met Speedy this week. He ran, they weren't doing laser, it was hand time, but ran a 4.32.
Yeah, I got was Urban Meyer there?
Yeah. 4.32, or maybe it was a 4.36, or maybe, yeah, something like that. He ran a 4.3 something. I was like, ooh. But I don't know that FNL will ever be what it was, and I think they've made a pivot this year to make it more of a 28 camp. Because I remember Ronald Powell came in from California, shirt off, looking like he had just gotten out of like a 5-year bid.
He was incredible that day.
and the number one player. Yeah, the number one overall recruit, but working out July before his senior year. And that's what it was. By the time Jordan and Quincy and that class was like, by the time Quincy, even older than Jordan, like you wanted the invite to Friday Night Lights and then you wanted to like stand there. And it was like a badge of honor that I don't have to work out at this. So I think the way the calendar is now, you're not going to get that year's class this year, 27s to work out. But this coaching staff told me like Wednesday, they were like, if you're committed to us and you're at Friday Night Lights, you're going to work out. And I was like, all right, cool. We'll see. And everyone that was committed worked out. So it looks like they're trying to make Friday Night Lights more of a camp again than, you know, a summer camp.
That's good. That means they're trying.
About to say, we done found some gems in Friday Night Lights, right? To my understanding.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to see if I can pull up the list of those folks that that made it to Friday Night Lights.
Did we lose a commit or am I mistaken? Did we lose a commit?
We did right before last week's show. Yeah, Kennedy. Yeah, we lost Kennedy to Jordan.
Nah, I'm like, I don't want to get too excited because it is a little bit early, but I'm happy where we at right now.
Yeah, that was one that I think was kind of maybe anticipated that if Georgia ever really put the heat on, but I thought that there would be some disdain knowing that they kind of deprioritized him, Florida prioritized him. Florida also has three other offensive tackles in their class. Georgia immediately made the push after they lost the kid to Clemson that he would be kind of their top target. So we'll see, but you know.
Kirby gonna pull this off like to every new coach. We're gonna keep letting Kirby do this, man.
For now,
right?
Yeah, hopefully.
I'll take it. Nah, I trust Uncle Phil, man. We still got a good O-line room. I think he'll find him a guy or two to close out this cycle, and then also on the transfer portal, he'll do his thing, man. We're in good hands, yeah. Uncle Phil.
Yeah, I know one player, Tyree Mannings Jr. He's out of Sarasota, Manatee County area. He's a guy that Sage, who is Davin's QB coach, has said that his coach now compares him to Percy Harvin, and I think he really showed out this week. He is a big Gator fan, so maybe a name to be on the lookout for. Not that anything would necessarily be imminent in a recruit announcement or anything like that, but definitely a name that should be of appeal to you.
And there's also, man, it's a I don't know if it's Friday Night Lights, but the young Javon Curse is one of his nephews there competing at receiver.
Okay.
6'3" specimen out of Fort Myers. He's a guy I've seen. I'm forgetting who wrote an article on him. One of the writers wrote an article on him, but he's an up-and-coming guy. Just some legacy, a legacy kid I would look out for in the future as well. I think he's like just 2028, but he's every bit of 6'3", 215-pound monster.
Okay. Jaden Ball, ESPN ranked Jaden Ball as college football's second best running back. Into next year. Kewon Lacy.
That's respectful. That's respectful.
Yeah.
From Missouri. I'm about to say that nigga from Missouri is not better than him.
No. Gators also
we play at Missouri this year.
I hope
we play at Missouri.
Thanks.
We're at Ozarks.
We're in the Ozarks.
Close. Same state. Tired of the Percy comparison. I'm just sharing what I heard. Percy Harvin was.
Hey, Dan's not that dead.
After Trey Wilson, I'm never doing it again. I'm gonna be honest with you. I retired.
I think Percy Harvin was at Florida the year this kid was born.
Yeah.
Yeah, the freshman or sophomore. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Like people were, I went off on it a little bit. They were like, the young kids were saying that Kadarius Toney was better than Percy. They were like putting up Kadarius Toney. They were putting up Kadarius Toney's on Twitter. The youth. No, the youth. It was going around. It was going around a month ago.
You made that up, bro.
No, this is a real thing that I saw.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney was really good. I don't think he was that good though.
Yeah, bro. It was really good.
Bro, they are crazy.
They were saying that this is the best playmaker Matt Flores ever had, and I was like, that's crazy because Percival Tarvin still exists. Still had a career. No,
those are bots.
Those are bots.
Those are bots, bro.
Those are bots.
No way.
John Summerall, the UF Athletic Association, I guess it was announced or was going to be announced, and somebody FAA or FOA, FOIA in it. University of Florida is going to be paying almost $3 million more for John Summerall's staff, $2.975 million to be exact. John Summerall is going to make $4.75 million, $50,000 more than Napier. And then the assistants are going to make $2.925 million more. They are paying, let's see. They're paying Brad White 1.85. They are paying Buster Faulkner $2.1 million. But you can go and you can find all of that information out online. We are not going to pocket watch, but it just shows that they did make an investment. Phil Trotwine's making a lot of money. So,
as he should.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 coaches making $1 million or more.
Mm.
Last year they had 3, and Rod Sale was one of them. Egregious. Mm. Egregious.
Y'all talk about the $1 billion stadium stuff as well last week?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but feel free. Obviously, if you're just watching, you didn't hear last week's show, Jordan and Corey were out. But yeah, $1.45 billion for now. That's the starting price. I would imagine it's going to be more. Corey, Jordan, what are your thoughts?
More, it's going to be more. I like it.
Oh, it's going to – well, I mean, construction prices are only going up, and I've seen construction happen. Those never come in under budget.
No, but
I think what could make it cost more is that you're doing it in sections so that you're not losing games. And like that's like Dan saying, like the price of steel, who knows?
No, it's never going to be any cheaper today than it's going to be in 5 years, right? So it's going to go up.
Yeah, that's even eggs.
Yeah. I mean, everything's just eggs. More expensive. You know, everything goes exactly as planned. They don't uncover something, right? Yeah. So, Corey, what'd you think of the rendering?
I think it looks gas, man. I like it. I don't have no complaints, bro. Like, I like modern things, you know, upgrades.
Yeah, we're gonna have to redo the Stadium and Gale logo, though.
Yeah,
they got rid of the spirals.
That's very true.
Dang, I ain't think about that.
We got 5 years to make a change, so we're all right.
Yeah, no rush.
A little bit of time on our hands. But no, I'm happy for it, man. I think it's obviously like a huge thing for recruits. Like obviously our training facilities are already up to date, and that's a good little selling point. But now what we're really known for, the Swamp, is actually going to live up to its name even more because it's more, like you said, more modern, more renovated, mm-hmm. and people love new. I mean, I know the Swamp has its traditions. Like, I'm blessed that I was able to bless Dan, kind of feel in some type of way about it, that I was able to kind of be in the same locker room that guys 10 years before me were in, you know what I'm saying? But I think that's the one thing I'll probably miss about the renovations. You know, it's just not going to be that same. May not even be the same layout. Hopefully it is.
Oh, no, you were not in the same locker room as Fred Taylor.
Not Fred Taylor, but shit, I know. I probably was on the same carpet as Tim Tebow, goddamn.
Yeah. I don't know. Same carpet?
Same carpet as Tebow.
Bro, that's kind of nasty.
They changed the carpet when I left. That's how I knew that I was on the same carpet with them. Because I'm like, hold on. Now y'all want to get new carpet in here?
Mm. Bro. I mean, ball sweat hitting that carpet for that many years, bro. It's crazy to just keep it there, man. That's a lot of ball sweat.
Yeah, but that was great. It was great sweat.
Greatness.
It was great sweat.
Greatness. Yeah.
Right. Definitely was in the same weight room as them.
That was champion ball sweat right there. trying to have it hang around.
Went trying to be ringer. Got it back, man. Let it linger, man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, boys, you got anything else before we head out of here?
No, I think that's it, man. Good to be back.
It's good to be back. Good to have you guys back. I'll be up.
It's my daughter's birthday today, but she's going back to college. So my kids go back to back. It was Harlem last Monday, so I missed. I thought I was going to miss this week, too. But my daughter just, you know, she want to hang out with college friends, bro. So she went back to school. She's down in Miami kicking it.
Man. Well, happy birthday to her. That's cool, man. It's kind of hard to believe how old she's getting. I mean, I know for you, it is.
But year two, bro.
Consider year that two. When I met her, you know?
Yeah.
So happy birthday to her. Corey, I made the announcement last week. I'm going scalping this weekend. And unfortunately, I don't have an invite for you this time, but.
This is crazy.
I know. This is the seventh time we're going to talk about it.
This is wow. This is wow. Did your uncle's place survive the hurricanes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got a bunch of water, but the house is built up on most of the new houses there are built up on stilts. And so the water came dangerously close a couple years ago to making it into the house, but it didn't. And so they're rebuilding now. I never thought, Sarah and I were looking at it, I never thought Steenhatch would be a place that served bubble tea, but there's a new boba place that just opened up. So,
doesn't
growing up in front of our eyes. It doesn't seem like the crowd. That's right, Nick. Doesn't seem like
sometimes. Sometimes they gentrify white neighborhoods too, Nick. Mm.
The hell you mean this bubble?
I have no doubt in my mind that the word play made hundreds of times.
What
Corey was giving you an opportunity there for an excuse, and you went into a long rant about how no, there is no excuse that the house was
destroyed. No, the house is still there.
The house is there. It's as beautiful as ever. Just soon, you know. But you know, I didn't want to be a coward and say I did it next week and be like,
it would have been a good time for me to scallop this year. I'm just too I could barely breathe, man. So. Next year it should be a calmer summer next year, man. So
next year it is. Yeah. Next year it is. We'll figure something out. But well, we appreciate everybody for watching. Hit the like and subscribe button. Before we do that, one more time for our friends over at Alumni Hall, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, right on Archer Road. I know I'll be in Gainesville on Thursday, and I'm going to swing by. So go visit our friends over at Alumni Hall, alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall in Gainesville, Florida, right off of Archer Road. We will see you at the same corner, same time next week. We appreciate all of you for watching today.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.